Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Be on this radio station tomorrow, Mike. Steakhouse, they're going to have Snit on, and I'm sure that he will reveal a lot of different emotions and things and reflecting, because I'm sure that's what's been going on all week after the announcement that he's stepping away. But want to remind you guys, 10 a.m. tomorrow, I believe it is, for Snit.
Correct. And we'll have some of that for you, if not the interview in total, for you right here in the afternoon drive.
All right. Let's talk to our man, Mike Griffith. Mike, don't want to waste time. I want to jump right into this and talk about the slow starts for Georgia. What do you attribute this to? And specifically, this has happened 2 years in a row with Alabama. Those are the two games I'm talking about. But it feels like, you know, that happened in Tennessee as well. What do you attribute it to?
Well, what it is the last eight games against Power Four teams, Georgia has trailed at some point. It goes back to Texas last year. And in six of those eight games, the other team has scored the first touchdown. This year, that's obviously been magnified when the Tennessee starting quarterback completed his first 14 passes and they scored touchdowns on their first three possessions. And then again, last Saturday night when Ty Simpson converted his first eight third down conversions as Alabama scored on their first two possessions. So, you know, part of it's good competition, but part of it, I think, is that Georgia is somewhat vanilla at the start of games until they can figure things out. And I think the book's kind of out. You know, I think that teams come in with an idea of how to attack that Georgia defense. And Georgia doesn't have the stellar play that they once did, where they were able to generate a pass rush with four guys while also playing coverage. Now, they don't have those dominators anymore. You know, they're around chasing people down in the NFL, and in the case of next man up, these guys haven't been good enough. So that's kind of where you sit, is the talent disparity is evened out, and Kirby Smart and his staff are going to have to find another way, maybe be a bit more aggressive coming out of the gate.
You know, Ryan Williams has a drop, Georgia has a drop later, which could have changed the entire complexion of the fourth quarter in that game, because you're right, they shut out Alabama in the second half. Does this get back to, I mean, just not having the confidence in their secondary, and they finally ramped it up because being more aggressive, the fact that, you know, you just didn't trust the last line of defense in the first half?
Well, I think part of it's being more aggressive. I think part of it's Kalen DeBoer managing the clock effectively. I don't know that Alabama attacked the same way. And to your note on Ryan Williams, Alabama ended up scoring on their drive. Georgia didn't.
Right.
So Georgia's Talon Taylor, you know, that dropped by the true freshman. But look, guys, we're talking about youth. I mean, Talon Taylor is a true freshman. And I know he's a five-star and all that. But, you know, there's something about catching a ball in front of 92,000 people on national television, and the kid had never been put in that position. I'm kind of wondering why the guy you spent $500,000 for from Texas A&M wasn't making any catches in the game, right? So part of it, too, is how you use your personnel and who you put in those positions. And then at the end of the game, it was a fantastic play call. I mean, Alabama, Georgia scouted that. Alabama's sloppy, doesn't get lined up quickly. They're deep. That's not the steel curtain out there. They were not lined up properly. That play was there. However, those were two freshmen on the right side of the offensive line, and they weren't able to execute. You know, and as a coach, when you're putting those guys out there, you kind of got to know what they can do and what they can execute. And if you're going to put them in that position, they got to do their jobs, or you're going to go back to the lab and you're going to talk to the coach, the position coach, and say, hey, you know, you don't have your guy ready. You're not going to make $800,000 this year. You know, we're not going to pay you $1 million to be a coach at Georgia if you can't get your guys ready for the game or pick the right guys to execute. And you know, we know it's not a matter of talent. You know, how long had we heard people talk about, oh, Georgia's talent and 4 and 5 stars and, you know, oh, iron sharpening iron. Well, apparently not, because with the game on the line, they faltered. So it's a lot to digest. But at the end of the day, it's parity. And people are tired of hearing that word. They don't want to believe it. They see that G on the helmet, and they just think, you know, immediately superiority, because Kirby has done such a great job building a program. But, you know, when your guys are getting plucked off you in the portal and you're losing guys to the NFL every year, it's a challenge. It really is. And let me say this, because it sounds like I'm beating up Georgia a lot and Kirby Smart. So let me just remind everybody. The 2021 national championship team had the best defense since 1986 Oklahoma statistically. I mean, it was dominant. They had 5 future first rounders, and, you know, let's all reminisce. But what was most stunning was Georgia lost 15 players, a record 15 players off that team in the NFL draft, and they had another 13 players leave via the portal, including 9 from the 2 deep. And they went 15-0 and won the national title, the most remarkable reload in college football history. So Kirby's done it before. But now that you've got these NIL inducements and everybody's spending money, it's a little bit harder to convince those guys to stay. And so next man up is starting somewhere else.
Right.
Those 2s and 3s that would have been ready to take over, they're gone. And so you're plugging freshmen in that are dropping passes and missing blocks when those should be typically – 3rd or 4th year guys who were waiting their chance to play.
That's a great point. Mike Griffith joining us from Dog Nation, guys, as we talk about where the Dogs go from here. They've got Kentucky coming in. Mike, what are your thoughts on this version of Stoops' team? I don't think they're as good as they were last year when they held Georgia to 1 score victory up there. It was, again, on the road for the Dogs. This is going to be at home after a tough loss against Alabama. What are you thinking about Saturday?
Well, Zach Calzada, a former Lanier County High School. You got a couple high school guys, a couple Georgia high students. A little cheer for Georgia high school football here. How about Zach Calzada in year 7 after a stop at A&M, after a stop at Auburn, after a stop at Incarnate Word? You know, Kentucky only lost to Ole Miss by a touchdown this year.
Yeah.
Remember? It wasn't that long ago.
Yep.
But Zach got hurt in that game. Now, if he's back and healthy, I don't know. Let's wait and see. I mean, Zach Calzada, I mean, there's people in Sugar Hill, and I saw him at Lanier High School, you know, like, oh, yeah, we remember him. Okay, well, you know, he might have a shot at the home state school. Let's see if he's healthy. I don't, you know, they're being kind of guarded with that. I don't think Kentucky has any shot unless Zach Calzada plays. And even if he plays, you've got to think this is going to be a motivated, fired up Georgia football team. That's what you would think.
Right.
But again, this is a whole new cast of characters, right? 54% of the roster is first and second year players. It's a time when leadership has to step up. They need to win this game and win this game impressively to get some confidence going into Auburn next week under the lights. Auburn, right, meanwhile, with a bye week, a chance to catch their breath. Auburn has 2 losses, yes.
Close.
But by a touchdown to 2 teams that are ranked in the top 6 in the nation on the road. So no pushover there. You win that game, and here comes Ole Miss, and the season's on the line again. So this is an important first step for Georgia to take if they're going to continue any sort of path to the postseason.
Hard to find schedule like Georgia's got anywhere on the Big Ten, if we're honest. Mike Griffith's with us, guys. Speaking of which, this year, because of all the things you just talked about, which affects everyone, not just Georgia, the parity, not having the depth, do you think anyone runs the table? Or, I mean, Oregon certainly looks like they've got they may be a candidate. Or do you think Georgia will get coached up, the kids grow up, and they can still make a run in the playoff?
Well, I got a story up on – it's interesting you mentioned the schedule. I got a story up on AJCSports.com. Lane Kiffin said yesterday that if you took South Carolina's next 5 games, he said you could pick a team and put them against 5 teams – from anywhere outside the SEC in the country, and it wouldn't equal what South Carolina has on deck, which is at LSU, against Oklahoma, against Alabama, at Ole Miss,
wow,
and at Texas A&M. So to your point,
oof,
the parity has arrived. Kiffin says there won't be any more dynasties. The SEC is deep. As far as the Big Ten goes, you wonder about how top-heavy it is. You mentioned Oregon and Dan Lanning, what a fantastic coach he is, and that Nike money is as green as anywhere. He's got talent. They went in and beat Penn State, another powerhouse team that we'll probably see in the playoff. The Ohio State opened with a touchdown win over Texas that we thought was important. Let's find out how good Texas is against Florida this week, by the way. Don't sleep on the Gators in the Swamp after a week off. You know, Billy Napier likes to quote that scripture, and last year there was some divine intervention for him to keep his job. So let's keep an eye on Texas at Florida.
Right.
But back to the point, it doesn't matter. Oregon was undefeated last year, and what did they got rewarded with a bye week, and then they got clubbed by Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. So really, it's all about staying healthy, qualifying for the playoff, and going from there. But I don't think we'll see another undefeated national champion for some time. I don't expect that, no.
Are you surprised at how good Carson Beck has looked at Miami?
No, I'm not. Actually, I'm going to have another story on that on Saturday. I don't want to give too much away, but I talked to a talent evaluator today. And look, Miami's a pretty good football team. And Carson Beck is a really good quarterback. I don't think anybody ever debated that the guy had talent. You know, we talked a lot last year about Carson's relationship with the team and the time that he put in with some of the younger backup players. Kirby Smart often said it was important for Carson to get on the same page. I think Kirby was kind of trying to talk through the media, maybe hoping that maybe the quarterback didn't fly down to Miami for too many weekends. And not that these guys don't deserve a day off now and then, but let's face it, championships are won or lost in the off season. And, you know, it's more important to score on a football field than anywhere else if you want to lead your team to a championship, right?
Right.
So I think Carson has grown up. You know, talking with his head coach at ACC Media Days this year, Mario Cristobal told me, he said, look, I'm glad all that happened.
Right.
Because Carson's learned. He knows what's important now. He's dialed in, and Carson knows he has to produce. The NFL's watching. His future's on the line. He has literally tens of millions of dollars on the line with his performance at Miami this year. And to this point, he's been a soldier. He's grown. You know, Georgia fans kind of wish that maybe that could have happened here. Maybe it could have if he stuck around. I don't know. But he originally was going to go to the NFL, and then they realized that the elbow was in such a way that he wasn't going to be able to perform in front of the NFL draft evaluation process at the combine. And they said, you know what, let's go back to college. And there's Miami dangling some money saying, hey, guy here last year was picked number one overall. We've got maybe the best offensive line in college football. Why don't you show these NFL scouts you can play in a different system? Come on down here and recreate yourself.
Right.
And that's what he's done. And he's having success, and he's got a really big game against Florida State. He broke them 2 years ago, 63-3. Georgia did.
Yeah. And that doesn't count, Mike.
Mike,
that doesn't count. Please, we don't want to talk about that.
He's defending Florida State.
And by the way, Mike, real quick, just to bring it back to Georgia and Gunnar Stockton, I saw some breakdowns. I don't know what your take is on this. Maybe you've already written about this. When defenses throw the zone, is he late on the trigger? Is he late seeing these receivers? Is he getting the coaching that Amunkin could have given his Bobo, not developing him? Because this goes back to everything you just said. Because some Georgia fans, if you don't get to the brass ring, they'll say, well, why didn't you get rid of Beck?
Well, I would say that there's some revisionist history going on with Todd Monken. I remember a lot of really ugly Stetson Bennett starts in 2020 and 2021. Now, 2022, Stetson put it together, and they built an offense around his talents. But at one point, Stetson was the four-string quarterback. And listen, Todd Monken, I'm not going to debate whether or not this guy's a fabulous coach. He is, but I mean, hell, give Mike Bobo Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers and James Cook. I mean, those guys aren't there anymore. And this offensive line is brand new. I mean, with you know, now that Ernest Green has been ruled out, you're talking about five new starters for the most part. So when we start talking about Todd Monken and Will Muschamp and rainbows and unicorns dancing in your head, remember they had different players. I mean, Jordan Davis isn't coming out of that tunnel, and Jalen Carter's not around here anymore. Neither is Nakobe. So before we start talking about how great these coaches are, let's take a look at the roster and let's see what they had to work with versus what Georgia has right now.
Can Bobo make Gunner better?
I think he already has. I mean, Gunner looked really shaky in the G-Day game. And I mean, let's remember, Georgia couldn't make a yard against Austin Peay in the second game of the season. I mean, my goodness, if you remember Austin Peay's goal line stand, Gunner is getting better, but Gunner is going to Gunner's going to give you what Gunner's going to give you. Okay, don't draft him on any futures fantasy football team because he ain't going to make it. He ain't going to be there. All right, he's a good college quarterback. He's a tough kid. He's going to run what you give him. They're asking him not to make catastrophic mistakes like he did against Notre Dame. Avoid turnovers. Run the read option. Get some tough yardage. But he's only making his sixth career start. It takes time, you know, for that clock in your head, for those pictures that you've got to take to get the timing down with brand new receivers. You know, he 11th in the league in passing efficiency? I mean, this offense isn't built for Gunnar Stockton to put up fantasy football numbers. This offense is built for him to be efficient, for him to make the proper read, to get the snap off on time, to hand it to the running backs to make yardage, to get a run game going so you can set up the play-action deep throws, which he's had some efficiency with, and to find Zachariah Branch as much as you can, because Branch is the guy.
Yes.
That's the guy.
Right. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. Great stuff. As always, Mike Griffith, we appreciate you, man. Tell the people where they can read you.
Well, they can follow me on Twitter at MikeGriffith32, but, you know, our AJC sports section is, you know, pretty beefed up right now, and a lot of my stuff's going on there. And then we have some stuff on DogNation.com. So, you know, we've got it covered. Connor Riley does a great job. You guys know that. And, and you know, everybody watches Brandon Adams on Dog Nation Daily. So we – and Centel with the recruiting coverage. I mean, he's going to tell you, you know, whether these guys square dance or disco in the living room. So there's all sorts of stuff you can find on Dog Nation. I appreciate you having me on, guys.
No,
thanks,
yeah.
Mike. So much.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.